Good morning, everyone. Thankful to God for this opportunity we have once again to be able to come into his presence, to be able to sing songs of praise to him and give back to him from the fruit of our lips, from our means, the ways in which he blesses us so much by encouraging one another, by looking at his word and being able to grow by it. This morning, I want to turn your attention to the book of Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 6 through 9. And before we go there, first of all, I just want to say thank you to everyone who came out on yesterday as we were getting the things ready for next week. Many of you came out and spent some time on this tough ground out here, and but trying to get things prepared for next week. So we really thank you for your participation in that. Looking forward to next week, to the Family Fun Day, and hoping that you're looking forward to it also, and that you are coming, to whether it be to serve or to be able to bring your children and your family members and your friends to come and participate also. So we encourage you to come on next week for that Family Fun Day. I just also wanted to just make a quick announcement about the Bible study small groups that are starting up. And just want to give you some encouragement on that. There are five groups that are going to be meeting. The singles group will be meeting here at the building. The ladies group will be meeting online. Khan family is having a group in their home. The Kirklands are having a group in their home, and the Barkers are having a group in their home. And you can sign up on the sign-up sheets in the foyer area. And I want to encourage you to go take a look, because there are not a lot of names on some of the sheets. So if you're interested, please put your name on the sheet. Even if you can't make a commitment to every single month, put your name on the sheet so we know. Because if there's no names on the sheet, it makes us wonder, should we have it or not? So if there's a group that you'd like to participate in, please let it be known by putting your name on there. If you're online and obviously you're not able to fill out the sheet, put it in the comments below so that we can mark it on the screen for you. So put it in the comments, send an email to the office, and we will make sure your name gets on the sheet. Okay. Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Lucas capítulo 13, versículo 6. Hasta nueve. And there reads, then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. Entonces les contó esta parábola. Un hombre tenía una higuera plantada en su viñedo, pero cuando fue a buscar fruto en ella, no encontró nada. And so he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Así que le dijo al viñador, mira, ya hace 3 años que vengo a buscar fruto en esta higuera y no he encontrado nada. Córtala. ¿Para qué ha de ocupar terreno? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. Señor, le contestó el viñador, déjala todavía por un año más para que yo pueda cavar a su alrededor y echarle abono. Así tal vez en adelante de fruto, si no, Portala. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, help us as we look at your word. Ayúdanos hoy, esta mañana, Señor, para que podamos ver y escuchar y aplicar su palabra en nuestra vida. Thank you, Lord, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I've entitled this message, On borrowed time. Jesus often spoke using agricultural terms. We think about many of the parables that Jesus spoke, the parable of the leaven, the parable of the mustard seed, parable of the sower, wheat and tares, and many other parables that you can add to that also. Jesus spoke using agricultural terms because, as A. Nasinger states, Jesus lived in an agrarian society in which the majority of the people would have had experiences living on farms or working with food crops or livestock. His audience would have included shepherds, grape growers, wheat farmers, laborers in fruit orchards, and families raising livestock, as just to name a few examples. In other words, Jesus spoke, Jesús habló en termas que ellos podían entender. He spoke in ways that others could be able to understand. Jesus was the most effective communicator, absolutely. Jesus is the Word. And so he comes and he shares these parables. And today we're going to be looking at not just the parable of the barren fig tree, but also before that, I want to kind of rehash and review the parable of the sower. We've seen this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 123, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. All of them tell of this same parable, this parable of the sower. En otros libros, en Mateo, en Marco y Lucas, hablan de esta parábola del sembrador. And in this parable, we see four things, just a quick rehash. Jesus talks about the seed, la semilla, que es la palabra de Dios, the seed which is the Word of God. And this seed needs to be planted. And it's planted on four different types of soil. We see that one seed, una de las semillas, estaba ahí en la tierra compacto. One of the seeds fell on compact, dry ground, ground that wouldn't support the seed and allow the seed to be able to penetrate and start to grow. Then the other, and so that represented the heart that was closed to God. Eso es una corazón que está cerrado por la cosa de Dios. And it says that the birds came and it ate the seed. The bird represented Satan, right? And the bird comes and eats the seed so that it won't take in that person's life. And then there was a seed that fell among the stony ground. And in that stony ground, here that seed, it sprouts up very quickly. But it doesn't really have any place to really grab root. And so it starts a little bit of root formation, but it really can't go down deep because of the type of soil. And the plant goes up, but then the sun comes out and scorches it. And so then we see, remember the third one, which is that seed that falls upon that thorny ground or the among the thistles or thorn bushes. And this represents the seed that goes in and it starts to grow and it looks like it's doing pretty good, but all of a sudden, the things around it start to choke it up. Yesterday, we were doing some weeding outside and we recognized, and matter of fact, I was telling somebody, if we could figure out a way to be able to take whatever helps this weed grow and put that on our grass, amen. I mean, because a weed will grow. You ever go out there and all of a sudden you see this beautiful tree and you're going, when did I plant that tree? And you start looking a little bit more and go, hold on, I never planted. That was a weed that just grew and it grew and it grew and it thrives in every different condition, right? And matter of fact, we need to be like a weed, don't we? We need to thrive like a weed does. But anyway, going back here, Jesus is saying that this seed is growing up, but because of the stuff around it, it chokes it and it becomes ineffective. And that's the cares of this world, the riches of this world, the things of this world that our flesh cries after and wants after, that all of a sudden we have all these different things that are vying for our attention and we're giving it all these other places, and yet God is saying, hey, how about me? Amen? And then it's that seed that falls on that good ground. El cuarto es esa semilla que cayó en una buena tierra y creció. Y cuando creció, dio también fruta. This is the seed that falls on that good ground and it grows up and it grows strong. And the evidence of its strength is that it produces fruit. It produces fruit. We want to be a fruit-producing tree. Debemos ser un árbol que da fruto. Eso es que el Señor quiere por nuestra vida. That's what God wants in our lives for us to produce fruit. How do we produce fruit? First of all, you gotta get in Christ. You have to be in the vineyard. You have to be one of his trees that are in the vineyard in order to be able to produce fruit for the Lord. And then how do you get into Christ? Well, obviously, you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, which now brings you into his family. He washes away that old state. You come in and become a new creature in Jesus Christ. You become part of the family of God. You are now his. While in here, as we saw with the different, there are different temptations being in Christ. I always tell somebody that if the enemy can't keep you away from being in Christ, one of the things that he wants to do is make us ineffective while we're in Christ. Yeah, go to church. Yeah, do the routines. Yeah, you can even check the boxes and all that. But don't let your roots go down deep. Don't get too involved. Stay on the fringes. Stay on the outside. Stay apart from all the activities and all the things. Just do all of those type of things. And if the devil can convince us that that's good enough, I think he's got us. I think he's got us. You see, Jesus says something in John 15, 5 and 6. He wants us to be connected to Jesus, connected to Jesus' church, connected to Jesus' mission, connected to Jesus' purpose for us. Jesús quiere que nosotros debemos estar ahí con él directamente, con su propósito, haciendo la cosa que él quiere para nosotros. And one of the things that he says in John 15, 5 and 6, he says, I'm the vine. I'm the vine. Yo soy la vid. You are the branches. Ustedes son las ramas. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Si un hombre permanece en mí y yo en él, dará mucho fruto. Aparte de mí, no puedes hacer nada. He's saying, if you've got to stay connected to the source. You've got to stay connected to the one who gives us the nutrients and gives us that ability to be able to grow. And here's the problem. We have what's called a will. Nosotros tenemos nuestro mismo propósito que podemos en cada minuto separarnos de la cosa del Señor. In any moment, we can just separate ourselves from the things of God. We have our will. We can choose to stay close. We can choose to separate. We can choose to do his will. We can choose to not do his will. But Jesus is giving us the very best. When Jesus shares something with us, it's not to get us upset, even though it may get us upset. It's to show us the best way possible. The best way possible to please him. The best way possible to please the Father. The best way possible that is going to enhance and bless our lives. Jesus says, stay connected. How do we stay connected? How do we stay connected, church? Give me some ways. We can talk. We're going to do Bible study right now, all right? Participating, all right? Being a participant. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be in the game. Put me in the game, coach. Put me in the game. I want to be in the game, right? What else? Studying the Word of God. As we study the Word of God, it shows us more and more of who God is. It shows us more and more of who we are. It shows us more and more of our needs, right? And his abilities. What else? Anything else? Fellowship. I heard prayer somewhere, right? Prayer, fellowship, Bible. I mean, you know, this is the same list we constantly talk about. There's nothing new under the sun. These are the same things. It's not that we're looking for new information. We need to apply what is already there. We need to start practicing these things in order to stay connected to the Lord. And then turn with me to Ephesians, capítulo 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Ephesians 4, 13 to 16. And then it says, until we reach the unity in faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. Hasta que todos lleguemos a la unidad de la fe y del conocimiento del Hijo de Dios, un varón perfecto a la medida de la estatura de la plenitud de Cristo. You know, that we no longer be infants. God doesn't, if you see an infant that's been here for 5, 10 years, there's an expectation that that infant grows. And 1 year old, they're measuring marks. And 2 years, and 3 years, and 4 years, and 5 years, and upward. And then you get upward, and instead of getting upward, you go outward, right? I mean, that's where we are right now. But there is an expectation that that child grows. And if you're 10 years old, and you're still saying goo goo gaga, and still in diapers, what do we know about that? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. God is expecting us to grow. He doesn't want us to be like infants. Infants are very, very gullible. They'll pick me up, and the person that's picking them up is not the right person to be picking them up. Sometimes they'll put themselves in dangerous things. They'll stick their finger in things they shouldn't stick their fingers in. They'll do things because they just don't know. And he's saying, as you grow, there ought to be an expectation that that growth begins to show, that it becomes evident in your life. La expectativa de Dios es que nosotros debemos crecer en esta relación con Jesucristo. Debemos ser más y más fuerte, más y más en estatura con Cristo. That's the expectation that God would have us. This is what I said in Spanish, y'all. All right. That's the expectation that we would grow and that it begins to show in our lives. And one of the ways it shows is in production, is in what we produce. Una manera que se parece en nuestra vida es en nuestra producción. Look at what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26. I'm going to do the old fashioned. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Mas el fruto del Espíritu es amor, gozo, paz, paciencia, benignidad, bondad, fe, mansedumbre, templanza. Contra tales cosas no hay ley. In other words, this is what the fruit is producing in our lives when we are baptized. Cuando somos bautizados en agua, recibimos el don del Espíritu Santo. We receive the Spirit of God that comes and indwells us. And the Spirit now takes habitation in our lives. The Spirit wants to produce fruit. What is the fruit? We see the production of the fruit. We see it in love and joy and peace and all of these things, we see it in a transformed life. Lo vemos en una vida transformada en que ahora estamos amando, ahora tenemos ese paz que viene por el Espíritu Santo, ahora estamos haciendo cosas diferentes por él. And so that's one way that we produce fruit in our lives, but the second way that we produce fruit in our lives is by carrying out that great commission, by taking that same seed that we've received and planting it in others. John chapter 15, verse 16. John 15, 16. And there it says, as soon as I find it, you did not choose me, but I chose you to be appointed and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. You know, one of the things Jesus sent his disciples. He gave them that great commission. He said, go into all the world and do what? Make disciples of all nations. What does that mean? You are a disciple called to make disciples. All right? Let's try that again. You are a disciple. Somos discípulos para también hacer más discípulos de Cristo. Right? Who carries the message? The preacher only, right? The disciples. If you are a disciple of Christ, we're charged to go make more disciples. See, a tree, think of an apple tree. Apple tree produces what? Apples. Inside every apple is what? Seeds. Inside that seed has the potential to grow another tree that grows up and produces more fruit, that has more seed, that then produces more fruit. Amen. You all seen this? We're not called to sit on Green Bank Road in this beautiful property, in this beautiful sanctuary, and just minister to ourselves and just talk to ourselves about how good God, let's do that. We ought to do that. But ultimately, our job is to also take that seed of the Word of God and plant it in other lives. Dios nos está dando a nosotros la responsabilidad a coger esta semilla de la palabra de Dios y también plantarlo en otras vidas. Preach the word to others. That's not just for the preachers. That's just not for the Bible school teachers and for the elders. That's for every single disciple of Jesus Christ. All of us have that responsibility. Amen? Y'all believe that? All right. Anybody don't? All right, I'll talk to y'all later. Let's be fruit-producing trees. Now let's look back at this parable. Look back at this parable. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. Entonces les contó esta parábola. Un hombre tenía una higuera plantada en su viñedo, pero cuando fue a buscar fruto en ella, no encontró nada. No encontró nada. He didn't find anything. A parable always is pointing to something even deeper and richer. In this parable, I believe we are that tree. In this parable, I believe the vineyard is God's vineyard, God's family. In this parable, I believe Jesus is that vineman. Jesus is the man who's taking care of the vineyard, the man that gives his life for this vineyard. And in this parable, here we are. A man had this fig tree growing in his vineyard. He went to look for fruit in it, but he didn't find any. Hay una expectativa. There is an expectation that the Lord has for the tree, que el Señor tiene por su árbol. He looking for fruit. Él está buscando fruto en esos árboles. He's looking for fruit. He expects fruit. He plants seed for purposely, knowing that at some point I'm going to be able to get fruit. I look outside and we're coming in today and I see some tomatoes. Was that Sherry? Is that yours? See, last week it was Sherry. Who's this week? All right, Rick. So we got some people to understand. You plant a tomato seed. Now you just go to Lowe's and buy it already growing a little bit, right? But you plant the seed. But what's the expectation? ¿Cuál es la expectativa? Fruit. And you know that at a certain time, it's going to start showing. It's going to start growing. You're going to start seeing little flowers that bloom. You're going to recognize, and that gets you a little bit excited, right? You look at the flower, you go, oh, yeah, fruit's coming, fruit's coming, fruit's coming. Then what happens? There's no fruit. The farmer's looking for fruit. And so he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, 3 years now I've been coming. I'm looking for fruit on this tree, and it doesn't have any. Cut it down. Cut it down. Así que el viñador dice, mira, ya hace 3 años estoy buscando fruta y no veo nada. Córtala. Porque, why is it even existing? He's pretty much saying. Why? The expectation is fruit. Why does it even exist? Here's the standard. Here's the standard. God has a high standard for us. He has a high standard for us. Jesus says, leave it alone one more year. I'll dig around it and fertilize it. Señor, le contestó el viñador, déjala todavía por un año más para que ya pueda cavar a su alrededor y echarle abono. Leave it alone one more year. Leave it alone one more year. There's a phrase that sometimes we say, the Lord has brought me very, very far, but anyway, he's still working on me is pretty much what I'm trying to say. Yeah. We're a work in progress still. We're a work in progress. You know, God's expectations for us is so high, and yet we're still a work in progress. He's done some mighty works in our lives, but we still haven't arrived. We still haven't gotten there yet. And one of the things that I love about the Lord, one of the things I love about the Lord is that he is patient and long-suffering with us. If he paid us according to what we rightfully were due, who would be in this room right now? No one. There'd be no preacher here. There'd be no elders here. There'd be no members here. Maybe there'll be the mice and we don't have mice, but the birds and all of that. That'll be it. None of us can stand. One of the things I love about the Word of God, go with me, because I thought about two different things. First, I thought about Abraham, Genesis 18. You remember God wants to come down and annihilate and wipe out Sodom. You remember what Abraham did? He pleads with God. Abraham le dio al Señor, el Señor quería a limpiar, a matar a todos en Sodom. Y Abraham le dijo al Señor, if we find 50, si encontramos 50 personas que son fieles al Señor, if there are 50 people that are faithful to you, Lord, please, please, would you spare them? And he continues to negotiate with the Lord. He continues to negotiate with God. He gets down to, I believe, 10. Will you? The point of this is that there was someone interceding on the people's behalf, saying, please, Lord, please, Lord. In 1 John chapter 2, it tells us that we have an advocate with the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's an advocate. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. Here we are standing before God. Here we are standing before the judge, and Jesus is standing right there pleading our case. That's Jesus, the advocate. Jesús es un abogado para nosotros al frente del juez del Señor, pidiéndole, dale gracias, Señor, dale gracias. In this parable, here we see him saying, Lord, I know you've been long-suffering enough. I know you waited for 3 years. I know you're waiting to see some fruit. I know you're waiting, but just give it a little more time, a little more time, a little more time. Right now, we're living on that borrowed time. Right now, we're on that borrowed time. The decisions we make will eventually make us. How are we living now in this borrowed time? The expectation is fruit. La expectativa del Señor es que podemos demostrar fruto. El fruto del Espíritu viviendo en nosotros. El fruto de nuestras obras. The fruit that we show God how much we love Him. That we're transformed by this very Spirit that's already in us. And that we allow Him to have His way. See, here's the difficult part. La parte difícil es que nosotros somos, you know, tenemos la responsabilidad que podemos decir sí al Espíritu o no al Espíritu. We have the option of being able to say yes, Lord, or no, Lord. We have the option of allowing Him to come into our lives and rule us and bucking Him and say, no, no, stay out. Stay out. We have that ability. But with the wrong choice come some repercussions. Verse 9 says, if it bears fruit, next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. I like to just be practical. I like to be practical. I've got to decide to grow. It's a decision. Growth is a decision. See, when we're small, parents feed you, it just happens. It just happens. It happens. If chemistry is working right and all of that is work, your health is right and all that, you just feed them, you give them water, you know, and they grow. But spiritual growth, creciendo espiritualmente, es una decisión. It's a decision to grow spiritually. It doesn't happen just by osmosis. It doesn't happen just by continuing to be in church. Yeah, you might learn some scriptures just by continuing to surround yourself, but it doesn't really work in your life until you decide, until you make a decision to grow. You make a decision to turn the TV set off and get your head in the book. Make a decision to, instead of engaging in other activities, to say, let me get down and pray. And make a decision to say, you know what? I'm going to call to encourage someone. I'm going to share this message. You have to make a decision. It just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. To decide to say, I want to be a part of this small group. It's a decision that's made. To make a decision to say, I want to involve myself in a ministry. It just doesn't happen just by chance. We make a decision to grow, to cut time off of unfruitful activities and say, I want to dedicate to things that are actually going to build up the kingdom. You have to make a decision. It's a decision we make. And that's the challenge. The challenge is, can't say it in Spanish, it's a challenge. La dificultad es que tenemos nuestros propósitos y después tenemos el propósito del Señor. The challenge is I have my own goals. I have my own desires. And they're not always God's desires and God's goals for us. Y podemos ser como esa semilla que estaba ahí con los árboles. We could be just like that seed that was there planted among the other bushes. And it's choking us out and making us ineffective for the Lord. Because they're God's pursuits. And we can't say, you know, I'm not saying you can't do things simultaneously and still keep God first while you still have a career. You can still do that. We're not saying to to cut everything down, sell off your house and join a monastery and go hide in the mountains or take out a vow of poverty. No one is saying that. It's not saying that in every area of our lives, growth and fruit will show that God is number one in that in your life, period. Period. And here's the thing for the Lord. The Lord told my wife, I think it's going to be a short sermon. She's probably going to talk to me afterward. The problem is that, you know, here we are, we've got our will, we have his will, and sometimes we just push God's stuff aside. But the best, matter of fact, think of a harvest. In order to get a great harvest, what do you have to do? You got to tear up that ground. You got to tear up the ground, that hard, compact ground. Break up that fallow ground. What's some stuff in our lives we need to break up for the Lord? What are some things that are compact that we're just allowing? We're not allowing that maybe this message to penetrate. We're not allowing the message penetrate because there's just something so compacted in our lives that is not even allowing us to be able to hear and see. Or maybe I don't even want to hear or see because if I really see it, then I'm really going to be moved to do something. So I'll just kind of do the, because it's easier sometimes to do that than to look at self, right? So you need to break up the ground. You got to plant the seed. You got to water that seed. You got to, in the interest of time and little by little, it grows, develops, becomes something God can look down and say, have you considered my servant? And he puts your name in there. Not Job. Have you considered, put your name in there? See, if we're ever going to get to that point, you got to realize that this isn't, look, I'm not in it short term. Yo no estoy aquí por un poco tiempo, solamente para venir a alabar los domingos. No, que esto es mi vida. Mi vida es el Señor. This isn't just to come to church on Sunday. No, this is our life. This is our life. This is when we leave here on Sunday, I'm a Christian. I'm still on mission. I'm still looking for opportunity to share and to give and to love. The world sees me different. They go, even if they don't know what the difference is, they see something different because the fruit is being manifest in your life. And it naturally allows people to wonder about you. What is so different about you? Why is it you don't react the same way? Why aren't you moved the same way when the job, the employer does something different and you just, well, hey, the Lord's my king. The Lord's my God. The Lord is the one that's running things, so I don't have to worry about what man does. God's got it. So when you have an attitude like that and everyone else is falling to pieces, they start looking at you like a little funny, and you might start looking at them a little funny too. The psalmist says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like cedars of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green. Dice, como palmeras florecen los justos, como cedros del Líbano crecen, plantados en la casa del Señor, florecen en los atrios de nuestro Dios. Aún en su vejez darán fruto, siempre estarán vigorosos y los sanos. Yeah, I love the first of all, the cedars of Lebanon, big trees, you're not moving them. And see, that's how we ought to be. No matter what happens in our lives, the song says, I shall not be moved. No hell assail me, I shall not be moved. This isn't a temp. This isn't a seed that falls on the ground, sprouts up quickly, and dies. No, I'm in it for the long haul. I want to see the face of my Redeemer. I want to reign with him forevermore.
Yo quiero vivir en una manera que cuando estoy al frente del juez, él dice, buen hecho,
siervo mío. I want him to say, well done, my good servant. Well done. Then it talks about the palm trees and the palm tree. And I love the palm tree because one of the things about the palm trees doesn't get as big as the cedars of Lebanon, but what the palm tree has is resilience. The palm tree is resilient. You look at a palm tree and you know that that palm tree has gone through some things. Where are they normally located? In the islands, in the tropics, and in hot areas and all that, that are prone to hurricanes. And the hurricanes come and they beat upon it. And if you've ever been through stormy weather and seen the palm trees, you'll see a palm tree doing this. And you notice and you wonder, like, how is this thing still supported? How is this thing not able to fall down? How is it? Matter of fact, if it's been there long enough, you've known that it's gone through a whole lot of this. Come on, y'all with me? See, when we get down to the end and be able to look before Jesus Christ, we've gone through some things. There were some times we wanted to quit. There were some times some storms hit so bad that we just wanted to fall and break and get away and detach ourselves from the vine. But we stay on the vine. We stay on. And though the storms keep raging, though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. I'm still planted like this tree. My roots go down deep, and it hurts. Life still hurts. Las problemas de este mundo todavía nos tocan, nos molestan. Pero mi confianza en el Señor es mi seguridad, es mi fundación. My confidence in God is my security, is my foundation. And no matter what storm hits, how it hits, I'm going to be resilient like that palm tree. It may bend, but I won't break. We're not in this short term. We're in this for the long haul. And as we're living, we're on borrowed time. We're on borrowed time. God, in other words, God has graced us with this opportunity. And if he's graced us, he's graced you this morning to be able to hear a message to say, I got to grow. I got to be more faithful. I got to produce. Got to develop. If you're able to see that, recognize not that you've missed opportunities. Recognize the power of now. Power of this moment. The power you have to now make a change.
Si está mirando su vida y ya ves que yo sé que en el pasado yo no estoy activo en las cosas de Dios. Yo no estoy leyendo mi Biblia o haciendo las cosas que yo debo hacer para crecer espiritualmente. Lo bueno es que tenemos ahora una oportunidad para cambiar. Que Dios nos está dando su misericordia. God is giving us his grace.
But at some point, just like he says, look, I'm going to give you some more time. But if it doesn't, it doesn't, it doesn't, cut it down. We want God's word to influence our lives so much that it influences our lives to change, to be transformed. That's what it's intended to do, to transform our lives. And the fruit is by seeing a transformed life. You can see fruit. You look at the tree and you see the apple. You
see the orange, you see the grapes. It is visible. If we're growing in the Lord, there are signs. And if there are no signs, you have an opportunity to change. You have an opportunity today to change. Maybe there's someone here today and you recognize that you need to make a change. You need to make a change. You're living on borrowed time, just like we all are. At some point, God's going to call us into account. At some point, there's going to be accounts of how we've lived our lives. Quizá hay uno hoy que sabe que este tiempo es corto. This time is now short. No sabemos cuándo va a regresar el Señor. We don't know when he's going to come, but we do know he's going to come. Sabemos que él va a venir. Va a regresar. Y va a regresar en un tiempo que no sabemos cuándo. He's going to come at a time that we're least expecting it and that we do not know. So what does the word tell us to do? Be ready. La palabra dice a nosotros que estaremos listos para, por su llegada. Let's get ready. Let's stay ready so that we can be with him forevermore. If you have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, si no ha obedecido el evangelio de Jesucristo, why not come this morning? ¿Por qué no vengas esta mañana? Give your life to Jesus. Entrega su vida al Señor. Give your life to him by being buried in the watery grave of baptism. Da su vida a él primero en ser bautizado en agua for the remission of sins, para el perdón de sus pecados. And at that same time, you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Y también vas a recibir el don del Espíritu Santo. You become a new creature in Christ. You become a new tree planted in his vineyard. Va a ser una nueva árbol plantado ahí en ese vineyard del Señor. Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come? If you're ready to come and give your life to Jesus Christ, obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ, won't you come? ¿Por qué no vengas hoy? Da su vida al Señor en bautizo, bautizándole en agua esta mañana. ¿Por qué no vienes hoy? Ven ahora. Come right now as we stand and we sing the song of invitation. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood wash it for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O of God.